Welcome to the inaugural edition of Case in Point. And I'm your host, Justin Case. And with me, I have the esteemed Jody Yearden as my co-host. How you doing, Jody?
My only question is, esteemed by who?
By me.
By you? Boy, that's high praise. at least one person likes me.
I think you're selling yourself short.
My mom likes me a lot. I was esteemed by my mom. That voice is something that you... I don't want to diverge too quickly. Boy, with less than 15 seconds into it. That voice is a voice you created circa, 1998?
That's about right, yeah.
It was the young Jody voice?
Yes, that fateful day at Driver's Ed.
Yes. For the listener, Justin and I have been friends for close to 20 years at this point, and I suppose, could you tell the people one of our first interactions? I know I remember it, because I don't remember it, but I know you have told the story many times, so.
Well, as far as us actually talking to each other, I'm trying to remember, because I saw you once in Big Lots. And you were wearing that Broncos jacket.
It's a place to see and be seen.
Yeah, and you were there with your brother and your mom, I think. But
your
sister and your mom. And your brother, the Hulk, still rules. You do have a brother. Don't forget that.
Oh, that's a guy that looks like my brother here locally. We won't get into him quite tonight.
We won't get into that right now.
What I'm referring to, I believe it was, one of our first interactions in eighth grade, and you said, hey, I've got a John Elway card here for you. You were trying to swindle, but you were trying to make some money off me, I think. You were trying to impress me, but you were wearing an Elway jersey, you were wearing a Dan Marino jersey, so I wasn't impressed anyway.
Yeah, there was some enmity there, and it was funny because I think the card I was showing you was that stupid Flair John Elway card. It was really thick. It's like
Flair,
printed
you mean
on
Flair
velvet.
Or Fleer?
It was Fleer Flair, and it was a high-end, a series of cards that you only got like three cards in the pack, and it was like UV coating, and it was a rip-off.
Okay.
And I got it at, like, freaking Kmart.
Didn't I totally blow you off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, this guy's a turd. I'm not going to talk to him anymore.
I think that was circa, like, eighth grade. We started to get friendly around, well, that sounds a little, not that friendly. we started to be friendly around eighth grade, ninth grade or so, and then really became good friends in, like, tenth grade. Again, not. don't let your mind wander too much here, but
yeah, well,
it was high school. Oh, it was high school. I was experimenting. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's funny because, like, I remember ninth grade global studies with Master P, as they call him, and remember they did all those political cartoons.
Master P was not. Don't get us wrong. It was not the No Limit. No Limit Soldiers rapper. I don't want anything. We didn't go to like inner city Philly high school or anything like that. No, it was Mr. Parker.
Who was our teacher. Yeah, global studies teacher. And I'd like to point out that what was that thing he had? It was the 2 minute review. What was that 2 minute review? Is what he had? Where you had to go
I'm
through?
Sorry, I don't remember.
Yeah. I failed every one of them, and it was just, I was always stressed out. But it was funny because that was when I first, it was my first class I had with you where it was, like, full length, you know what I mean? Because I don't think we were really in any classes prior to that, like, you know.
No.
That was it. I mean, that's when, and then you and I still did not talk. You were still snubbing me off because you were an Elway fan, and it was funny because you were, Mr. Parker asked you a question, and your response was, He said, which, I think it was like, which country is the primary exporter of manganese? And you go, Chad. He goes, you're wrong. Like,
there it is. There's the Jody voice. And you're like, yeah, you said Chad.
Chad. We used to say that all the time.
It's funny. You mentioned the alley thing. The first interaction I remember having with you was actually in the same class, I believe after school, for maybe a study session or something. I believe it was after school. And we were, without naming names, but there are listeners, we bonded over a friend of ours who wanted to go by the nickname of Ruby. And this was nicknames come organically. Someone, you don't appoint yourself a nickname, okay? Someone appoints you a nickname. You don't just walk in and say, I want to be called this today. No, someone gives you that name. And this person, who will remain nameless, decided he wanted to be named Ruby. And I think even though you and I were on different sides of the aisle at this point, everybody kind of bonded together to say, Ruby, where did you get that from? And relentless hazing of Ruby at that point. And I think this was really when we started to bond.
Well, yeah, because there was the whole after-school incident. And there was, I think there was me, you, and I don't know if Jason was there. And I don't know if Trav was there, but I know another kid was there who's not in our current circle of friends. He was always kind of like on the, he was always kind of like a, he was on the fringe, but he was always a funny guy. And he goes to Ruby and he says, I want to be Rubified, like that. And, and then Ruby says to you, he goes, hey, you're one to talk chody urine. And you said, hey, at least I'm not the one suffering from terminal skull rot. And Mr. Parker,
yes, I was.
You got props from Mr. Parker. He really? Just nodded in approval. He's right grading there, papers.
To point out somebody's psoriasis and really, like, well, I suppose chody urine is not real kind either, but I really went for the jugular with the psoriasis joke. It's not really. It was really his fault.
Yeah. It's
high school kids can be brutal.
What was
so
that?
So anyway, I said high school kids can be brutal.
Oh.
So anyway, we have been friends. We've been very good friends for. The better part of 20 years at this point.
Yeah, I don't like to admit that, but you're right.
That's right. And at this point, even though we are in different time zones, on different coasts, still very different.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with cell phones and, texting, social media, that stuff, even though I hate social media, I keep it very limited to people I actually want to interact with, and I'm not going to get into a big thing about all that, but, largely...
We'll save that rant for another day.
Yeah, that's more of a tangent, I guess, but it's cool nowadays with the technology to be able to keep in touch, because I don't think you could easily have done this on a rotary phone, in a tape recorder.
We tried it down the downstairs. But my legs would get sore after a while. It's just on a stand. I took the rotary phone still in my house.
That's impressive. And, hey, they work just as good as they did in the old days. I mean, they plug right in, and there you go. So.
Yep.
I mean, I still have a VCR. Don't ask me why, but I still have one. So.
In case you want to watch, old home movies or...
Richard Simmons dressing to the classics.
Well, we have that on DVD here. We have that. You can get that on current media outlets.
Yeah. Well, what about Sweating to the Oldies?
Well, that was what I would say. That's what we had. That's what we had. Gotcha. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Why don't you, since this is the first episode, why don't you tell the people what your show is going to be about, that are listening for the first time and wondering, who is this guy, and why is he going by the moniker of Justin Chase?
Well, you know, I guess.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to make light of your name. I'm not meaning that at all, but. As somebody who's known you for 20 years, I want to tell people straight up, this is your name. This is your real name. You know, it sounds like it could be like a shock jock name or something like that. Hey, this is just Chase coming at you here on...
Well, celebrities have used it to break into hotels and, you know... They've used it to, destroy hotel rooms. Celebrities would, so they don't have people mobbing them for autographs or getting the bills to their personal accounts, you know. But I have had people reserve banquet halls in my name, and they're on the other side of the country. And I have to insist that it was not me that reserved the banquet rooms. And, it's annoying at best, but... no, it's cool. I'm really, you know, as far as who I am, I really like, nerdy things, I guess. But I'm really into music, guitar playing. I love comedy, and, I know the mass majority of the people that might listen to this might not really get into the real nuts and bolts of, you know, music and guitar playing, but yeah, I'm just letting you know it's something I do, and I really enjoy it. And, you know, I've played a lot of gigs out in public for several years, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. But, I'm able to write my own theme music and stuff, which is always cool. I'm always working to get better at it. I like to have this as a platform for, it's loose format, but I think this podcast could be something that, we could hit on a wide range of topics, not just necessarily comic books or movies. And because largely I'm not really subscribing to a lot of new comics these days. I think that the industry is, you know, not what it once was. So it's, you know, I like to stay updated. So I'll probably be quizzing you, Jody, later on to see where things are at. Cause I know you're not buying a whole lot of new comics these days. At least you said you're not too excited about what DC's doing, and Marvel's kind of fallen into that weird patch, you know what I mean? And it's just odd what they're doing. And I don't like how they're changing all these characters, and they keep rebooting history and starting over, and all. It's just too much. So I'm a 50-cent, 25-cent comic guy, and I love the Marvel movies, so we'd be talking about them, you know, some of the movies that I, you know, that are upcoming. Also Blu-ray releases, a lot of the older shows and movies are coming out on Blu-ray, and to the point to where they are remastering the original source film, you know, taking the original film it was shot on and cleaning it up. I'm really excited about that kind of stuff, like the Next Generation series, and they remastered some of the Star Trek movies, and Airwolf was great. I just bought that. That was excellent. And I heard that Knight Rider is in the works for Blu-ray release as well. If they're going to do a copy-paste, I don't know. But I like that kind of stuff. I love media. I love movies, music, talking about old stories, and hopefully hit on some things that people can really relate to and get a lot of enjoyment and stress relief out of. Because I know it's a crappy world out there right now, and I think that the goal of this podcast is to be a haven from all that, and hopefully you come away with a smile on your face. And that's what we're aiming to do here. And who better to have, keep the laughs going than Jody Yearden? You know, I just want to throw
that
out.
Well, thank
there.
You.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. It's a loose format. And like you said, movie, music, and just stories, just chatting.
Yeah, I mean, because I think that people can really, you know, benefit from that. And I think it's the most relatable platform to have, you know, is a loose platform. And you're not restricted or put in a box. And, you know, so I think that's cool. And people will be excited to hear what you have, something new that, you know, every week there's something. Or, I don't know, I'm not going to say every week, not going to put myself on the hook just yet. But I'm going to try to do this at least, you know, twice a month, and You know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Sure. Loose format, best stories, and hopefully some very obscure references that will that people will get a chuckle out of.
Yeah, those will abound. I can promise that.
if you like the 80s and 90s and your age appropriate, you'll probably enjoy this show.
Yeah, exactly. And I know some of the folks on some of the other podcasts, they're pretty much close to our age bracket, you know, and I know it resonates with them, you know. But I did bring a list of topics, and
sure.
And I really thought about this, and I was like, you know, there were some really strange game shows, especially kids shows. They were out in the 80s and 90s. Like, was it Steampipe Alley? Wasn't that one of them? Find the eye in the pie. Can you find the eye in the pie?
Steampipe Alley was a... Well, it was totally regional. It was definitely an East Coast thing. It was on WWOR.
Yep, that was a Chicago station, right? Was it New York or Chicago?
Secaucus, New Jersey. Secaucus, New Jersey, and they had Mets games on there, like in the late 80s, post 86, you know, games. Lenny Dykstra, Howard Johnson years. yeah, Steampipe Alley was, I believe it was like a Sunday morning, 9, 10-ish, sort of, I believe it was a Sunday morning show, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, because I would seem to catch it out, and it was very, like, locally produced WWOR, almost like a game show slash, it was a weird show, game show slash variety show.
Yeah.
You're talking about, what is it, the eye of the pie? Was it a cream pie?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know if they put like a marble in there or something like that, but there was that comedian that was the host of it. And his name was like
Mario Cantone.
Mario Cantone. That's the guy. He's so dirty. Yeah. If you ever listen to his stand-up, oh, it's so bad. And he talks about
it. It's funny because as a kid, you either didn't know or it's the 80s and that stuff's over your head. But now, I mean, I've seen him within the last, I don't know, 5, 10 years. He's very flamboyant.
And oh, yeah.
That is not something I ever picked up on as a kid. And now it's like, and maybe it was, you know, maybe he didn't know, or it was well hidden, or who knows? It was a different time, but he's very flamboyant now, and it's odd to see. Not odd, it's just like, oh, well, that was not something I knew as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
But I
always thought he was just kind of over the top for the sake of the show, or maybe he's just a theatrical kind of person. you know, hey, yeah, you're absolutely right, and I saw one of his comedy routines. I don't remember if it was on YouTube or if it was on TV several years ago, but I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked, like, how dirty this guy is. And he was talking about how much the kids annoyed him that he had to deal with, and he said they were like snot-nosed brats, and, you know, it was interesting.
His Steampipe Alley history. He was bringing up in the stand up.
Yeah, and he was like, "I don't know if you guys remember, I did a show called Steampipe Alley, and let me tell you,
those kids,
you
know,
I don't think it drew much response from the crowd. Maybe a very mild, you know. There was that, and then there was another show that was very similar in a similar production style, where this kid had this stupid friggin' game controller that was on this weird apparatus sticking up out of the floor, and then this other kid had to wear this helmet, and the kid would be in this maze, and he'd have to move the joystick around, left, go left, no, turn around, and it was real. I always get stressed out watching it because there's a time limit, and it would determine how many video games they won, and they would have this guy. They did this guy do a voiceover, and let's say like they won like 3 or 4. It was always like NES games. It wasn't like, you know, anything else, because I think it was when NES was in its prime, you know. And I remember the guy. on the microphone, he'd try to be really, like, hip and cool when he would say what the name of the game is. He'd be like, I'm trying to remember some. It was like Wall Street Kid, and, it was like Tengen Tetris. Like, he would, you know, go, it was so bad. And it was just, I can't remember the name of the
game. Now, this wasn't Nick Arcade, right?
Oh, boy. It was not Nick Arcade, because that was a big-budget show. That was definitely a big-budget show.
And I know the name of this game, and game show.
I think it was on the Chicago Station.
It was
kind of
a short-lived thing, but I really liked the show myself. Now, this is the one at the end of the show, whatever team won, got to go to the quote-unquote video game store, right? And it was almost like a video store with NES boxes plastered all over the place, and the kid was covered in Velcro. Is this the one you're talking about?
Well, remember Nick Arcade? Well, the Nick Arcade, the kids were in the video game on this monitor.
Yes.
And it was a side-scrolling adventure
video game.
What's that?
It was a bunch of generic video games, because at least they made them sound like they were real, but there was always I had never heard of before.
Right, Nick Arcade was a huge budget because they had blue screen and all that. This other one, the first one I mentioned, is just really low rent. It looked like some kind of shady friggin' laser tag thing in an old factory, and where there's a maze and he's trying to go right, go left, and it was just stupid. Some of these game shows were something else, and, you know, it's like, then you got into, like, a lot of the big-budget stuff, like Finders Keepers. Remember that show, Finders Keepers?
And oh, sure, I know Finders Keepers. I love that game.
I used to spin this big yarn about that show, because I used to tell this lie that this kid fell off the edge of the second floor, and they had to cut to commercial real quick. And
So that was a lie, huh?
It was a lie. That did not happen. And
you told me that, you jerk. You told me that. You told me that with like a straight face. You told me that with like a straight, like, yeah, oh yeah, it really happened. I saw it. I don't remember that. I was dumb, and the internet. I guess you couldn't really look that up at the time.
Right.
Yeah, you told me that, you jerk.
Yeah, it was really funny because. Maybe I should be a politician. I can lie and everybody believes me. Oh, no.
I took you at your word. I took you at your word, and you were wrong.
You know, it's funny because wasn't it the same show where they had to go through that jungle and those guys, those guys with the giant masks and the spears would go after them? No, that was a temple... That was Temple.
Yeah, you're talking about
Hidden Temple, or what is it called?
OMAC, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, man, it's funny, man, because if you watch your shows now, you're like, oh man, look at the foam rocks. This is like, you know, 60s Star Trek, you know. And but what were some of your favorite shows to watch? Jody, like back.
Oh, you know, okay. So I just did a little. I believe the game show I was talking about was called Video Power, and this was if you were the winning team, you got to go through. It was set up like a video games or like a video game store with NES boxes attached to the wall with Velcro on the back, and you were wearing a suit. That was covered in Velcro, like the yin to the yang to the Velcro that was on the game. And you had like 45 seconds to run through and pick up as many games as you could and attach them to you. And if they fell off, you didn't get to keep the game.
Oh, I remember that.
They would have kids like, oh, he's got a Konami. Was it Konami Batman? Was that who made the Batman game? Where
no,
like
Sunsoft.
Like, Sunsoft. Okay. Oh, he's got Sunsoft. Oh, he's got to pick that one back up. And maybe it was something like if you found three particular games, then you won like a Rob or something like that. Probably not that, but you know what I mean. Maybe you won some sort of super prize instead. fuck. I thought that game was the best. I'm like, oh, man. I grabbed a copy of RBI Baseball, and I grabbed a copy of, I don't know. What was that game that used to be on the back of all the comics that had Fabio as the Conan-like guy?
Wasn't it Wizards and or Wizards and Warriors?
Maybe.
Fabio.
It was you didn't know him as Fabio at the time, but it's like if you were even 3 or 4 years after that, if you went back to read a back issue out of a comic, you'd go, hey, it's Fabio!
Oh, yeah. He's a funny cat, too, because his kitchen is full of dirt bikes. And do you remember that episode of Tom Green? What's that?
His kitchen is full of dirt bikes?
Dirt bikes, yeah. Because he was on an episode of Tom Green. And Tom Green rode on the back of a dirt bike with him popping wheelies. And he's like, so go ahead, tell me, how much is a stereo? How much does a stereo cost? Come on, just give me something. I'd rather not say. Okay, great. All right, let me guess. 200,000. No. 250. A little bit more than that. Like, he had like a almost $300,000 stereo system, and this is like in the mid-90s or late-90s. I was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy, you know. And, but yeah, that was, it's funny. I like the old comic books because of that kind of stuff, the ads and the...
Sure.
You know.
And for the record, you were correct. It was Iron Sword, Wizards and Warriors 2.
Okay. You know, of course, a lot of those are... Either the art or the advertisements are far better than the game ever would be, and you'd always had false hopes.
Sure.
And, you know, case in point would be Captain Planet. You know. Captain Planet. I mean, that was a crappy game.
Was that a good game?
No, it was bad. I rented it from the Dexter Midstate. It was terrible. And yeah, I remember Jason rented the first Tecmo Bowl game for NES there, and I remember we got subs from the deli there the same night, and oh, I got so sick. I was throwing up while he's facing off against the freaking, you know, facing off Giants versus the Colts or whatever. And you know, if that's a compatible, I'm trying to remember two teams he went up against, but and it was just really weird because I wasn't impressed by that game. But then when Super Tecmo Bowl came along, oh man, that game was excellent.
It's the best.
And it's funny when they let you coach.
In my basement. It's awesome.
Yeah. Remember, you can coach. It's like, why would I want to coach? I'd rather do the plays. What a waste of time.
I can't execute these complicated. I have to push down in A. I can't figure out these complicated controls. You have 8 plays to choose from? Give me a real NFL playbook instead. It's got to be less complicated than this.
Yeah, it's either I'm going to coach on Tecmo Bowl or play Wall Street Kid. That's a hard choice.
For a listener, I wanted to clarify for your benefit that Jason is your twin brother.
Yeah, by 8 minutes. He's 8 minutes older than me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was actually like, hey, so you're going to record tonight? And I said, yeah, if I get off the toilet, you know. And he goes, you should just record the podcast in the bathroom, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, you get a nice reverb in there, you know, in the bathroom. But yeah.
So I think you were asking what kind of '80s, what kind of game shows that I enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. With how about Kids Court?
Kids Court. I think in like the mid '90s they started showing some. The mid-90s? No, you know what? It was probably late, early 2000s. Nickelodeon came out with a channel briefly, unfortunately, it never really caught on. was called Nickelodeon Gas, and it was like Games and Sports Network. And it was an entire network that just showed old Nick game shows. And I believe they threw that one on there, too. And that show doesn't hold up very well at all. But it was a great show because they had, you know, Double Dare and Wild and Crazy Kids and all these other shows on there. But unfortunately, it didn't. Apparently never caught on, and I believe they turned it into, I don't know, Nicktoons or Teen Nick or one of the channels that's on there today.
Yeah.
But what game shows did I like? Well, I like Double Dare. I was a big Double Dare fan as a kid. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, I got one year for, I think, my birthday. My parents, I think at an auction, got me a copy of Double Dare the Home Game, which sounds great. Like, oh, wow, I can enjoy this at home. Until you realize it's from, like, Pressman Games, which is not, like, they're not even in, like, the top five games. Like, well, they're not, you know, they're not Parker Brothers, which is, no, they're not even.
They're lucky if they even got a license.
It was not good. Pressman got the license for this?
Oh, that's funny.
Are you kidding me here? All right. And it was like, we're this. I only played it once or twice. You needed a friend to play it with, and I guess I didn't have any friends in time. I don't know. I did, but apparently they didn't come over to play Double Dare. We did something more fun, like ride bikes or, I don't know, play G.I. Joes or something, rather than play that turkey of a game. But there's no slime or water or anything involved. It was like, wear this silly hat, and I'll try and throw a ring on it. And it showed the kids on the box had a great time, and just never lived up to even having a decent time playing that game.
Yeah.
Plus, I think pieces got lost and didn't get played very much. But I'm pretty sure I can find the box at my father's house if I look for it hard enough. But I mean, I like Double Dare. I enjoyed the, which currently now they are running that on. I think one of those Nickelodeon channels I mentioned, occasionally, if you set up your DVR to tape it, they'll plug one of those on, an old Double Dare episode on at like 2:30 in the morning. And that show does not, I mean, as a kid it was great, but it does not really, aside from the big obstacle course at the end, does not really hold up on some of the challenges. Some of them, they vary from wildly easy to like really, really hard, but they're really not that messy, but I suppose at the time, in the 80s, you just never had really seen anything like that.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that kid's getting all wet. Oh, man, he's trying to shave a shaving cream-filled balloon with a razor, and he just popped a blue all over his face. Isn't that super funny?
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you go back and try to watch some of that stuff, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I don't know. It's probably because we were so deprived, like you said, back. It was a simpler time, and you know, it's not like you could go and hop on the internet or go. You know, I mean, if you didn't have your own, your friends didn't live close by, you don't have a car, so you're gonna be stuck home picking your nose and trying to play Trump the board game, you know, and it's. You know, some of those shows are okay for the time because, like you said, it was something where, like, oh, wow, this is different. You know, this is cool, I guess, you know. And there was that one show, it was called, it had The Aggro Craig, whatever that show was. Remember that one?
That was Nickelodeon Guts.
That's right. Yeah. There's a guy on YouTube. Did you ever watch that video I sent you? It's the guy named Dan Bell. That guy's got some really funny... his YouTube show is just funny because some of the music he plays in the background, like when he does the abandoned malls and stuff, it's called Vaporwave, and I think you and I have talked about it, but it's really funny. Cause,
hold on, let me stop you there for a minute. I'm losing you. You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, it's probably because I don't have the phone close enough.
Yeah, I didn't hear the last be
tickets
or whatever he said.
Oh no, Dan Bell. He's got some cool. He's got a cool web, YouTube channel on. He's got a cool channel on YouTube for doing abandoned or dead malls and abandoned restaurants.
Yes, those are great.
Yeah, those are excellent, and you know, kudos to that guy for taking the time to do that. And he does a wide range because he did one that I thought was interesting. He went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and he went to the old there's an old TNT depot that the Army had during, I think it was World War II, and they supposedly this thing would lurk around in that area. And so him and a friend of his, in the middle of the night, it was in the winter because it was really cold and everything, and they went into a couple of these structures. And it's funny because the first one they came out of, there was something rustling in the bushes, and they got all freaked out, and it was hilarious. And he's like, oh, me and my great ideas, you know. And they were all freaked out, so it was pretty funny. Creepy at the same time, though. And I really like his Dead Mall series that he does, and it's cool and depressing at the same time, and I think you and I, Jody, agree on that. But
yes.
He does, like...
Wonderful to watch those videos and see, you know, you're getting they're really well edited too, but to get a sense. I remember watching an Ames one. I'm a big mark for Northeast 80s, 90s retail giant Ames department store. Yeah. And it was wonderful to see the place and remember how it was laid out. But on the other hand, to just see it dilapidated and just see stuff that had been left behind and, you know, things deteriorating and water damaged and people. It's wonderful and depressing at the same time. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
But they're great videos. If like you said, Dan Bell, Dead Mall series, there's a lot of great videos on there for anybody that is into that. Anybody that wants to feel bad about or think, man, I wish we still had a Keldor, or man, I wish we still had a Tower Records or something along those lines. I don't know if he does either of those, but I'm just trying to lift off as many numerous defunct retail chains as I can. Man, I wish we still had a Chet King.
Well, it's funny because when I watch those, it kind of harkens me back to some of my memories from when malls were really big and everything. You know, there's still a lot of big malls around and everything, but I bought Kiss Psycho Circus at CD World, I think it was, which it was previously Tape World, which is previously Record World or something like that. And it was funny because it was like the neon sign and everything. And then it turned into a Halloween store, one of those cheap Chinese, costume stores. It's like a outlet store. And it was just really funny, you know, to have a piece of, you know, history. I really look at a lot of stuff like that, like CDs I buy at defunct stores or any kind of products I buy at stores that are now gone as kind of like a piece of the store, you know what I mean? Because you have that connection with it. And,
Sure.
Yeah. What I was going to ask you
is... I still get a thrill now is, you know, if you're going through somebody's old garage or... you go through somebody's old garage, or especially like an older person's stuff, and you find something that says, "Hey, wow, this has a Hill sticker on it!" Like that's very thrilling. It's like a Hill's department store sticker. All right.
Oh, I'm the same way, and yeah, and I. As a matter of fact, my studio here is kind of it's got a collection of lots of guitars, tons of Star Wars, G.I. Joe. And Masters of the Universe stuff. And it's funny because they have a Lando Calrissian Star Wars Power of the Force figure on card, proudly mounted on the wall with a Hills tag on it.
Nice. And, very nice.
Yeah, a friend of mine from Arizona shipped that to me, and which is a separate podcast in itself because he's a really cool guy. But it's kind of neat because, like you said, to see a price tag from an old store. Like, I think I was doing some yard work in my mom's backyard when I was like 18 years old, and I was raking the leaves, and something caught one of the rungs on the rake, and I pull up, it's an old Nichols bag, plastic bag, because you know those things don't decompose for like 100 years or whatever it is. An old Nichols bag. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. You know, it's so funny. You know, and it's very alarming how the retail sector has collapsed. I mean, you had all these places, all these anchor stores, and it's just, you know, you got guys, politicians that are, who I won't get into that here really, but they've driven KB Toys out of business. They just drove Sports Authority out of business. Yeah. You know, you got some of that. And you also have the people's interests have changed, what they like to purchase. They're more experienced based now, as opposed to having like piles of junk in their house, unless they're a hoarder or something, and or have hoarding tendencies. It's just kind of scary to me to see how things have collapsed. And I'm not a big fan of big box stores. I like the experience of having several options to go for the same thing and maybe get a better price. And now it's like, well, sure, what does Amazon have it for? You know, and it's like,
right,
that's about it. You know, and there's part of me that would want to have retail stores, like new retail entities, if you will, you know, start in the industry again. But I don't see how that could happen. And that's a scary prospect. That is a scary prospect, you know.
You know, I remember 10 or even maybe 15 years ago when online retail really just started to become much of a thing. And I remember thinking, like, you know, reading stories and stuff, and says, oh, you can buy groceries on Amazon, you can buy this, you can buy that. And thinking, who on earth would buy this stuff in Amazon when I can just go to the store? But yeah, everything in this, everything nowadays is so, that's the word I'm looking for here, is very, you know, between TV and music, everything is so specific. Everything, what's the word I'm looking for here? Everything is so,
it's all categorized.
Everything's categorized. I know there's a bigger word that people are probably shouting at me for that I'm trying to convey here. But yes, everything is so specific. Everything,
yeah,
you know, like you said, this is just for you. This is just for you. That's why TV is plummeting, because there's right, so many channels, and everything is specific for a group of people. And that's how online retail is. Why,
exactly.
Sure, you could go to the store, yeah, and buy everything, buy things, but why not go online? You might pay a little bit more. Likely you pay less if you're going to Amazon. But sure, why would I go to the store to buy something when I can go online and buy exactly what I want? I want this. I want this exact movie on DVD, and I don't want to bother to look for it. Just send it to me right now.
Okay. Some people are lazy like that.
5 days. I want it 2 days. Okay, we'll send it to you in 2 days then. Like, I don't want to wait for this DVD copy of Night at the Roxbury. I needed this yesterday. I needed this in 2 days. Okay, we'll have it to you in 2 days.
I want my Richard Grieco fix. Yeah.
I forgot he was in that.
Do you think we should recount some of our, as quick sidebar, some of my tales with Richard Grieco and some of the local retail stores in upstate New York, particularly Watertown?
I don't know. You might want to save that for another podcast, but I don't want to tease the people.
Yeah, maybe we'll shelve that for a different episode. But it's, oh my gosh! I mean, it's, oh my gosh!
Richard Grieco sighting.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, yeah, you better make note of that, because that's something that will bring the folks back. That's something for episode 2.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you folks something. You guys, I'm going to toot my own horn here with this podcast right off the bat, because you guys are in for a treat, because Jody and I are going to cut loose on some really funny stuff as we go along on this. And I really think that I know I'm really excited about it. I know Jody is too. And being able to just, we're going to stay, you know, on track the best we can. But I'm telling you, some of the stuff we'll have to share is, it's easy to go off on a side tangent. It's so easy, but there's so much to tell, you know. And I can't wait. I'm really stoked about it, you know.
Yeah, Well, it is a conversation, and conversations do have a tendency to do that. But
oh, sure.
We will try. I know I will try. I will try my best to stay on target as best as possible, and to try and, you know, not to get off on too much of a tangent.
Right.
You know, although somewhere along the line, they will say, excuse me, in the last 10 minutes, we somehow went from the Preston home game version of Double Dare to Richard Grieco. I don't know how it happened, but here we are.
Hey, you know what? You know what? It's my podcast. I don't care. Yeah, it's funny. No, we'll do a better job. And, you know, this is my first cut, you know, at doing this. So bear with me, everybody. I don't know. This is really cool. And I'm so glad that the podcast, idea is out there. And it's so easy to do one, you know. And this is just really great. And so, yeah, this is really cool. I wanted to also talk to you. I wanted to quiz you a little bit, Jody. What is probably the most regrettable item you have bought on clearance?
Oh, have bought. The most regrettable item I have ever bought.
Yeah.
Are you looking for the obvious answer, or you want me to think about it?
Pick one.
Okay, pick one. Well, there's a pretty, at least in our circle of friends, there's a pretty well-known story of, okay, so sit back and listen to this for a minute.
Sure.
My very first job was washing dishes at Cracker Barrel. You'll know because you were there. We were reading together, and that's like a five-part series right there where we did. That's coming up. That is coming up. But
Sea Barrel years. Yeah.
Yes, these were our most fertile years. This woman was fathered a bunch of children. No, that's not the case. But these were some of our most formative years.
Yeah.
Boy, I didn't even think about that. That would make a great show.
We got schooled in the art of Hobart.
That's
sorry,
go
ahead.
Way. But, so, in the year, 2000, it was April 2000, I got my first job at washing dishes at Cracker Barrel, and I made a robust $6 an hour to start. And I thought, $6 an hour? I think my first paycheck, I pulled in like $119, and I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to... Literally, at that point, I mean, I never had a job before. But at that point, it was probably like the most money I had ever had at work. I'm not telling you like a birthday or Christmas or graduation or something. It was like the most money I'd ever had in my life, and I'm gonna get this every week. I've got it made. I still lived at home. I had to pay for gas. My mom made me chip in $20 a month for insurance, which I still was like $20 a month. What do I look like here? You know, what do I look like, Warren Buffett? Do I look like Richard Branson here? Do I look
Richard
like
Branson? That's awesome.
So I thought that was a ton of money, $120 a week. I am loaded. So at the time, I was going to our local comic shop, Sanctuary Comics, and
this is going.
I was going in there, and I was buying a few books. Actually, by the time I quit in 2001, I had a $40 a week habit, which doesn't sound like much, but in those days, most books were like $1.99, like $2.50. So I'm throwing at home like 15 books a week, and it was stuff I didn't even like sometimes, but it was just like, well, $2, I'll just buy it. But at the time... I'm pulling in. I got these deep pockets. $120 a week. Very frivolous spending. Well, I remember looking through the previews catalog, and I spotted something that I thought, "Wow, this is great!" And it was an Aquaman snowboard. It was Aquaman. He's sitting on his throne under the sea, and beneath him, under his throne, is a snow globe. Filled with, snow and water and fish. Or no, he's in the, excuse me, he's, it looks like the base of the snow globe is almost like a, It's like a rock with fish and stuff coming off. Yeah. And then in the snow globe sits Aquaman with some fish and snow, water, on like a throne with his trident.
Yeah.
And I think the price is like $70. $69.95. I think it was $79.95. So $80 for an Aquaman snow globe, which I don't even really like Aquaman all that much. He's not one of my favorite.
Who does?
But I promise it was like, I gotta have it. I'm making all this money now. I gotta have it. So I ordered it. And with the previous catalog, especially something like that, I want to say that might have been at the time like a 6 month pre-order. I think so.
Oh, wow.
When I pre-ordered it, I think it came in like September or October. So I pre-ordered this thing because, you know, I'm just making it rain. And, you know, I think the reality of the summer set in that I was doing okay. I didn't have any bills to pay, but $120, even in year 2000, didn't go quite as far as my 18-year-old brain could comprehend.
Yeah.
So I go in 1 week, and, you know, our local comic pusher says, hey, that, came in. And at this point, I mean, you think now, what if you spent, you know, three quarters of a paycheck on a snow globe? You know, and you know, you'd be talking about a $700 snow globe at this point. And as an adult, you know, as an adult with an actual job, not to slay anybody that's washing dishes. It's an actual. I'm just digging myself a hole here. But you know what
it's
I mean? As an adult job. And he tells me that it comes in, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I forgot I ordered that. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I heard a popping. I thought maybe I'd lost it. So he tells me, hey, that's what we're okay, man. Okay. Like, I don't think I had quite forgotten about it, but I thought maybe he had forgotten about it.
Right.
And I don't even think I had the money on me at the time, and I had to maybe wait a week and come in and buy it. And I bought that thing and thought, what are you doing?
Dude, it cleaned you out.
You can't do this. Yeah, it cleaned me out. But so, you know, our friend Josh Donaldson had said at one point it was a living, it was hubris. It was
hubris.
It was hubris.
Exactly.
It's the ultimate symbol of decadence.
Oh, big time. Absolutely correct.
And you know, I have to say, I've got a bit of a man cave in my basement, and it's on display down there, and I don't think. I look at it every so often, and there's quite a story that goes with it, and I just think to myself, I probably could sell that thing if I wanted to, but that's not going anywhere. That's got a lot of it's an ultimate reminder of to be wise with your money. So if when you ask what is my most regrettable decision, that is probably it. That would probably be it.
Well, I would say I don't necessarily have from that time period a regrettable amount of that I've spent on any one thing, but I will tell you, my first paycheck that we got from there, and remember we were working all the shifts that nobody wanted to work, and we would work what was it? We'd do crazy stuff like we would work 24 hours in 2 days, like 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
And it was just pure, it was almost pure profit. It was just insane. And it was like, as far as I was concerned,
to the tune of like, oh, I made $80.
Well, these are fat paychecks. I had amassed in 2 weeks, I'd amassed enough money to go and buy a Jackson guitar off the wall, which was a big deal to me because those are not low-end instruments, you know what I mean? I still have it, and I use it all the time. And as a matter of fact, I use it to write the theme song, Brass Knucks, that we use for That Old Comic Smell, and I used it for Roach Coach, And
these are some of the intro music and some of the outro music that were used for a previous podcast that that I hosted for a while and that you guest appeared on quite a few times.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, but man, I would probably say the stuff that I regret buying with those paychecks would be anything from the Nuclear Blast record label. those CDs that they'd send out these catalogs, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just went overboard.
So many CDs. Many CDs.
I still have them all.
I have most of them. I threw a few away. I probably don't need to. I don't need this Drowning Pool CD. I don't think. I think this can go in the trash.
Who does? Who really does?
Yeah.
I mean, there should be a coaster. You know, that was the other thing too, which could be a separate podcast. But about a lot of the CDs that were purchased that where you're like, you know, this is great, but then you try to listen to it again, you're like, this is toast. This is for a certain period in time, and but some of the stuff does hold up, but most of it, by and large, does not really. And I'm not going to say which bands, you know, but because I'd have to really think about that too. But yeah, that Aquaman Snow Globe is funny, and I knew you were going there with that thing. And the last time I was in town, I took a picture of it. I took a picture of it because you have it on that. You've got it on that cement or that brick outcropping on your wall.
It's almost like a. It's like a pillar.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I have it on a pedestal for everyone to see.
And I'm not sure. Maybe some of you folks have seen the picture of Jody's basement, but formerly known as Wayside Studios. It's very impressive, and I've always been envious of his basement because.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's not like the torture chamber, like, you know, conditions in my mom's basement where she lives on a hill and it's constant runoff, you know, every winter from snow melt and rain and everything else. Yours is a very dry basement, and it's pretty cool.
No.
And I know that you did have some problems, probably when you get a lot of rain, but largely you guys have that under control, you know.
It's so like it's a semi-finished basement, but it's good enough for video games and podcast recording.
Well, and in the summertime, dude, when it gets hot there, that place is awesome. It's like natural air conditioning.
Oh, yes.
It's awesome.
It's a nice sanctuary. I like to go down there and not come back up.
Yeah, exactly. And every time I go to your house, I want to go down there. You're like, oh, well, maybe later, Justin. Maybe later. But, yeah, let me see. What else do I got here? Lest we not forget, shady fundraisers when we were kids.
Shady? Now, this is more, yes, you had mentioned something along these lines. It's shady. It doesn't seem to be as much of that anymore as an adult, unless I just haven't gotten into it yet with my kids being so young, but please elaborate on this
shady
fundraiser.
Yeah, so when Jody and I were in school, we lived in two separate towns, but we were the same school district. And I think it started probably when we were in, heck, I think started in kindergarten and kept going well into high school.
Kindergarten, first grade, like 86, 87,
Yeah. And there was this guy who... He had this, like, deacon's coat, like he was a, you know, semi-retired detective from, like, you know, the early 80s with the patches on the elbows.
He looked like an extra from Hill Street Blues.
Exactly. He was like a tweed sport coat. Or
Marty Miller.
Yeah, exactly. And so he had these dollar bills that were taped, like in an endless stream, or like in a big stream. I think it was like $100 bills, and he'd get these dollar bills out and be like, all of these could be yours, you know, and you want to know how to get this money. And it was, number one, it was totally pouring the idea of greed into like young minds and, you know, money, 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 dividends, making a profit and stuff like that. And it was so bad. and they had these catalogs of stuff you could get if you sold enough items. And, I mean, they would dedicate every year for a while, consecutively, they would have, like, it was like a 2-hour-long presentation in the gymnasium. And this guy would be running his mouth. And I'm like, I wouldn't give this guy my baby teeth to give to the tooth fairy. Are you kidding me? You know, this guy's terrible. I wouldn't trust this guy with anything. And they, you know, I think the best prize I ever got, I got a VW Bug pencil holder sharpener combo. And it was a piece of crap. It was like 2 inches by 3 inches. It was piddly. And a dinosaur eraser. And I sold, like, I think $100 worth of merchandise. And back in those days, that was a lot of money, you know. And there was this kid. Every year, he would get the BMX. The same kid every year. At least at my school, Jody. And
really?
Because, yeah, his mom had connections. And I think she was, like, a rep for, like, a pharmaceutical company. Or she sold wheelchairs or something like that. So she was well-connected. And she sold, I mean, she would blow all the other kids out of the water because this kid had his mom doing all the legwork. And he would, he got the BMX bike again. Yep, we knew it was him right off the bat. And, you know, it's like, what did you do with all these bikes, dude? Because you won them like 5-6 years in a row, you know? And it was a very, very shady outfit, you know? And it makes you wonder, you know, how were the funds allocated? And what were we raising money for? That, you know,
for no personal benefit.
Yeah, it's like, where did the money go? What's that?
Do you remember what the guy's name was?
I don't, for the life of me, I cannot. But he was a gentleman who's probably in his 60s already. And we didn't see him for a little while. But they kept doing the fundraisers. But then I think I was in 7th or 8th grade and he came back and he had all those dollar bills again. And these things were weathered. I mean, he had these things. These things had probably been at every Greyhound bus station on the Eastern Seaboard. And they started out green back in the 80s. And they were like yellowish brown by the time I saw him in 8th grade. And it was just weird. And, you know, it's as an adult, you look back at these things, you're like, where did the money go? What was it for? He never told us what it was for, you know? And
I will say, I don't remember the presentation. I don't remember going to, like, a 2-hour presentation or anything in the gym. But
I think Jason would.
This was like first grade. I vaguely remember, like, selling things. And I think the big prize I got was a super silly pencil.
Yeah, it was
really
those,
long.
Yeah,
and it was
bendable.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
You couldn't sharpen it in like a regular pencil sharpener because it was
plastic,
like, made out of plastic.
Yeah, it was
like
plastic.
A thing of lead through it, and you had to use a knife or scissors or something. And I don't know how you sharpened it, but
want to know how my brother and I sharpened ours? Pencil. We sharpened ours with open flame. We put it over the stove in the kitchen, and hey, we got the lead out, you know. But I know
it seems like that the most coveted prize in my eyes was the, I mean, there's the bike, sure, but that seemed like a really lofty goal. So in my eyes, the most coveted prize was the speaker that goes on your bike handles that has like the the CB radio thing that you talked into, so you can ride around your neighborhood for talking into it with a mic. You know what I'm talking about? With a speaker?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because
you're
like, speaker attaches to your handlebars, and you talk in the CB thing, and you're like, look out, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, you're on my way.
And it had a siren noise on it, so you could sound like the British police.
Yeah. Like somebody's going to be fooled in the city, and some 6-year-old on a bike with a siren is going to, oh man, it's so fun.
Yeah, you have like, dee-doo, dee-doo, dee-doo. Yeah, like you're going to be intimidated by a 6-year-old with Keds, you know.
Yeah, I'm wearing Velcro sneakers, but I'm undercover. like you said, there's cheap siren on there. Plus, like, that, remember that, like, 8-bit grenade sound that those things, do. Yeah. Grenade sound. Like, it's just
oh,
so
yeah.
stupid.
Yeah. It, like you were like the special neighborhood watch or something like that, you know.
So, this neighborhood's under my protection. Me and my
yeah. Oh, man.
But like you said, the fundraisers were also on the back of comic books. I believe that company was called Olympia. And it'd be like, sell 25 items and get this framed poster of Emmanuel Lewis. And it would be maybe maybe not 25 for Emmanuel. Maybe it'd be like 5 for Emmanuel Lewis. But,
yeah.
You know, they had a certain tier system that, like, oh, this is great for kids to make money. And if you sell this many, you know, it's like stationery and, like, junk. But they figure, oh, Grandma will buy that crap. Grandma's not great with it. Go get her up for some money. And I remember, yeah, the Olympia ads had, like, a woman was almost like wearing a I remember this very clearly because obviously I read a lot of comics in my time, but so it's like inside,
done,
like,
buddy, okay?
Inside the back cover.
I'm almost done.
Would be like a woman with like a tiara and like she's wearing one of those headphone sets, and they'd be like, "Yeah, sell this many and get a sell 7 items and get a shower radio."
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was. It's funny because you can follow like how. Technology had come along from like the late 70s to like the 90s if you've got a large array of comic books, because I think Olympic was the name, and there was a guy, his name was Captain Olympic, and he had like these stupid...
it's the same company yeah
and he had like these stupid shoulder pad things, and it was just weird, and he had these two kids with him, and it was like sell 30 items, get one of those. Remember those stupid bean bags you could get? And it was like a. Or it was like they had that, and then they had. It was a bean bag trampoline, and then they had this stupid UFO. UFO, like, inner tube or something like that. And it was. It's just weird stuff. And it was, you know, get the David Blackstone Magic Kit or Robert Blackstone, whatever his name was.
Oh, that was. That was like the Holy Grail. I wanted that thing bad. I wanted that magic kit bad.
So did I. And remember, you and I would
see, I've never seen
so
that
bad.
In stores. I want that.
Yeah, you and I get laughing so bad about the Robert Blackstone magic kit. It was so funny because he'd have those cards. Like, he's his, you know, grand magician and stuff. And I'm sure he's quite a hit in Vegas, so I've never seen his shows. But he was big in the 80s. He was big in the 80s.
Oh, he was very big in the 80s. And you know what gave him legitimacy in my eyes? He appeared on you have a semi-recurring segment on Square One Television on PBS.
Square
and
One.
Oh, man, he's it. See, I was right. He's really great.
Yeah.
I guess the segment was showing, like, how you maybe he was doing math-related magic, which is, like, the lamest form.
Pick a number between 1 and 3.
Pick a number and multiply it by 8 and then divide it by 2. And if you take that square root, it'll always be 6.
Oh,
it was
wicked lame.
Something lame like that. I don't remember, but I know he was on there.
Yeah, they'll keep him over. He'll have a gig. He'll have like a low rent gig over at the Cleopatra's or something in Vegas or whatever, you know. But there was this one thing that Jason and I did for Cub Scouts. Okay, it was called a Tom Watts Showcase, and this stupid thing had this cardboard suitcase full of Chinese junk that you would try to sell to people. And it was very 80s looking, like very early 80s looking. So it had like this fancy electronic grid work on it, and supposed to be hip, like Transformers style, you know. And it was, I don't even remember. Well, I think we were selling stuff in there, like scrub brushes for the kitchen. And there was this stupid scrub brush I wanted to do dishes with, that because it had a smiley face on it. And I wanted it really bad, you know, because I'm like, I can clean my toys with this, you know. And so that made it all worth it. I was able to get one. Wow, you could put soap in this thing, man. It's cool, you know. And we had one of the, we keep getting every year, Jason, I would get one of those pens with like a million different colors of pen inside, and you'd push a little lever down and you'd have like all those different colors. It was like a 25 color pen. You remember those?
Those were awesome. I was just thinking about those like yesterday.
Yeah.
Man, I had one of those when I was a kid. I thought I was a king because I had mine only had like red, black, blue, and maybe green, something exotic like green. And I thought, I thought I was the king because I had that.
Yeah. And so what happened was this one year we had all these puppies at my mom's house. Our dog had puppies, like a huge litter, like six puppies or seven puppies. It was crazy, you know. And some of the puppies had an accident, and we had to, meaning on the floor, and it was bad. And so it had to be cleaned up, and the only thing my mom could find to put it all in was an empty Tom Watt showcase suitcase. She filled this thing to the brim and then some with dog crap. Okay. With like all the paper towels used to clean it up and everything. And it was it was so jam-packed that the side of the suitcase was arched because it was just so jam-packed. Oh man, it was great, and it was very symbolic because that was the last year we did Tom Watt Showcase, and it was that was so funny. We were laughing so hard.
He said it was for did you say Boy Scouts?
It was Boy Scouts. It was a fundraiser we did in Boy Scouts, and
it was a cardboard suitcase.
It was a cardboard suitcase. You can actually Google it, and you can find one on there. It's a blue.
I'll have to look this up.
Yeah, I almost sent you a picture of it because it's so funny. But it was like, it had a handle on it and everything. And it's just, oh my gosh.
Like you're a traveling like door-to-door Bible salesman or something, right? Like, well, I'm flying the coop here, Mom. I think I'm real tough now. I got to go out and get statement.
Yeah, I got to go make ends meet, so I'm going to sell shady merchandise.
Start earning my keep. And what did you? What kind of products did you sell? Was it one of those catalogs that was filled with like candles and stationery and junk like that?
Well, the products were actually in the suitcase, so you had them on hand, and so
you were like a traveling salesman.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to earn my.
Jody, I think the name of this podcast is going to be Tom Watt Showcase or something of that nature.
Who was Tom Watt?
I'm sure he's probably
Tom
the
Waits.
Tom Waits, yeah. He's probably like the proprietor. We should probably call it like you know, I don't know. We'll figure something out, but it's some funny stuff, but call it like Showcase Showdown or something like that. I think that'd be funny. But yeah, it's just, you know, to see something that being used like that was never in a million years conceived to use to fill dog crap was just the funniest thing, you know. And I'll tell you a sidebar story real quick about dog crap. We were going around on Memorial Day and we go decorate like the graves of our relatives and stuff. And, we had our dog that she hadn't had the puppies yet. This is like a year before. And we had brought her in the truck and we just had a bench seat, you know, it was an old Ford pickup. And so it was me and my mom, Jason, you know, and me. And Jason's like, "Hey, I'm going to feed the dog cheddar cheese Pringles." Boy, was that a mistake. The dog ate the whole canister and crapped all over the seat. My dad opens the door and it's rolling off the seat onto the ground off the running boards. And he goes, "What? What?" He goes, "There's enough in here to make another dog." Like, he was so mad. My mom had to clean it up. Oh man, it was so great. You know, those cheddar cheese Pringles. But, yeah.
Yeah, I meant, was that on the solid side or on the not so solid side?
Oh, it was solid. It was solid. Like I said, it was rolling off the bench seat.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, but I think that covers what I want to talk about. I think, was there anything that you wanted to add? Because we're hitting the hour and 18 minute mark.
No. I think, you know what? I think that we'll do it. It's an inaugural episode. We'll keep the, we have, I think we have planted a lot of seeds of intrigue tonight, as far as some future content for this show. And,
oh, yeah.
I think if anybody's listening, I think, you know, send them, we would love to hear some listener questions, scenarios, like, okay, you know, scenarios, questions, anything you'd like to hear us talk about on the show. How can they contact you, Justin?
They can contact me through...
Would you rather they not?
No, they can contact me through my Twitter, Vandura81. That's my handle on there. And, yeah, I check Facebook once in a while, but Twitter's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And, yeah,
right,
send
great.
It.
Yeah,
send in your ideas.
Ideas, questions? Yeah, Vandura81. I'm at RegalFan on Twitter. And follow me, too. And, yeah, send me any scenarios, questions, top five lists, anything. As you mentioned earlier, you know, we had a former podcast at one point, and I'm pretty sure that some of those people will probably be listening to this. So, you know, thank you in advance for that. And again, any questions or anything, we definitely get a hold of us. And
yeah,
we're going to try and I know I'm going to. I'm going to help try and get the word out there and get this thing moving.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, well, thanks again, everybody. And I don't have a host yet for this, but that's coming up pretty soon, and we'll get this out there.
Well,
by the time
they listen to this, you probably will already have the host.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Then
they wouldn't be able to listen to this.
Well, I could just send it via email to everybody.
That's a very grassroots. That's a very grassroots. If you'd like to listen to my show, I will email it to you.
grassroots movement.
We'll get this thing. Yeah. We'll get this thing out. We'll get a host for it. We'll get it up on iTunes, and we'll try and get the word out for it.
Excellent. Well, thanks, everybody.
If you like the show, tell a friend. And if you don't like the show, tell an enemy.
Because we'll still be here tomorrow.
That's right. And leave us, you know, once this iTunes thing is established, it is comment and a review and help us to grow.
Yep. So, all right, buddy. I think that'll just about do it. All right, guys, we'll catch you next time. And have a good one.
Be excellent to each other.
Be kind to one another.